if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future, where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.humanitychurch.com. You can also download the Humanity Church app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the one word Humanity Church to 77977 or check out the giving option on the app. Enjoy this week's talk.
Let me pray before we get started. Holy Father, you are a father of clarity and truth and love and freedom. And I ask, dear God, that you help us stay focused on that, right? Because that's what you're about. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to start. So we continue our conversation in the series, Heaven Meets Earth. And if you're jumping into this right now, I'm going to strongly recommend that you guys go on to the Humanity Church app and download the first session, the first talk by Nathan Neighbor, our lead pastor here. It was amazing. That conversation has continued throughout the week for me and for a lot of people. So you actually are missing out the foundational conversation if you miss out on that. So I'll speak a little bit about that, but I really want to encourage you to listen to that talk. So I'm going to start by reading Genesis 3:1-24. We love the scriptures. We actually do believe here that the scriptures are inspired by God and that we are transformed when we engage with them and that we meditate on them. It's an interesting thing about scripture, right? We meditate on the scripture and then we're trying to figure out what it's saying. But what starts happening for those of us who really start chewing on this, the scripture actually starts reading us. I don't know if you've ever gone to a talk and you thought, man, that dude's reading my mail, right? It's like, what happened here? How is it that that message is speaking directly to me? Because the scriptures actually start reading us. It's an awesome, crazy experience. So if you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand and the ushers will come and we love giving Bibles away here. Also, you know what? They're on apps now. This is amazing, right? It's so cool, right? And they're so cool to even remind you, hey, you didn't listen, you didn't read your Bible today. Well, all right, I get you. Genesis 3:1-24. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, come on, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all of the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam, he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all of the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Couple things. I want you to know that God did not cast them out of the Garden of Eden as punishment. They were not punished. God did not banish them to hurt them. I think sometimes we think, well, see, I do bad, therefore God kicks me out and I'm done. It's not at all what happens, right? What happens is God so loves human and life, Adam and Eve. He so loves them that he allowed them ultimate freedom. Like, you notice, God wasn't on Adam and Eve's back, like, you know, like we are with our little children. And for those of us who are still learning with our bigger children, we're still on their back, even though their backs are way taller than us. Well, you know, you need to study, you need to do. When are you going to get out of bed? When are you, you know, 11 o'clock is not appropriate. Right? You're a grown man, even though I'm treating you like an 11-year-old. That's not cool, right? God wasn't on Adam and Eve like that. They were free. They were free. God wasn't checking in with them. He was in a conversation all day long with them, but he wasn't saying, Whoa. The tree. Remember, that's the one I talked to you about, right? Not near this tree. Don't go near that tree, right? He didn't do that. He dignifies us with choice. Now, God's plan was that heaven and earth would coexist. And it turned out that Adam and Eve were not up for that. So God says, dang it. Okay, that's cool. But God, he's not flipping out, because you know what he knows? Heaven and earth coexist. He rules and reigns. And the plan is always from the beginning. Just like Nathan says all the time, there was no plan B. Heaven and earth were always going to coexist. Human and humanity was always going to co-rule with God. That was the plan. So happened that these two, and some of us, maybe all of us at times, weren't up for it. So God said, you know what? You're not up for this, so to the east for now. To the east for now. I want to compare this to, and just so you know, what's happening here is that we're actually in this story from Genesis 1 through Genesis 12, we're moving into Babylon. Whenever you hear in the Bible, east, bad. That's not good, right? Whenever you hear Egypt, nah, that's you don't want to go to Egypt, right? Whenever you hear Babylon, whoa, you don't want to go to Babylon, right? That bad stuff happens there. You get enslaved. I don't know, has anybody ever felt enslaved? You know what Babylon is. Now, I want you to compare this to Babylon, the Babylonian gods. I love this story. It's in the, I'll pronounce it incorrectly, Imnu Elish. It's the Babylonian story of the gods. And remember, this story in the Bible is actually set right alongside the cultural context of the time. So what the people of Israel are dealing with is the Babylonian story of the gods, right? So you've got Marduk, you've got Tiamat, and you've got Kingu. Awesome, right? Marduk is the baddest god around. He is so bad that he, and I mean bad like awesome, right? He's so awesome, bad, nasty, powerful, that he's got eyes almost all around him. You know why? Because the baddest man in the whole darn town needs to be able to see everything. So he's seeing everything. Now, he's such a tough guy that his father gives him rule of the heavens. You know why? Because his father knows, if I don't do this, he's going to kill me because I can't stop his greatness. To the north is Tiamat. Tiamat's also pretty tough. She's an awesome god. She'd like to rule the whole thing too. She's a serpent, interestingly enough. Very interesting. And she's got a dunce of a son, Kingu. Dunce of a son because his name actually means one who is unskilled, the god of unskilled. That's pretty dunce. But she believes that she's going to give her son this reign, right? But Marduk says, you know what, forget it. So he says, I'm so powerful, I'm going to call the four winds. That means north, south, east, and west winds. I'm so awesome, though, that I'm going to create more winds. I'm going to create seven more winds. I'm going to create tornadoes. The world has never known a tornado. I want to create hurricanes. I'm going to create these awesome winds, and I'm going to go take Tiamat, and I'm going to shove this air down her throat. I'm going to split her in half. And with the top half, I'm going to create the heavens. And with the bottom half, I'm going to create the earth. And you know what? Nobody likes Kingu. And without his mom, this dude is nothing. So you know what I'm going to do? If you guys all, these other gods, if you all agree, here's what we're going to do. We all hate Kingu, and we're doing all the work out here. So we need slaves. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to gut Kingu. I'm going to squeeze all the blood out of him, And when the blood hits the earth, out of that clay, I'm going to create man so that man could be our slaves. What do y'all think? Good plan? We're tired, right? Let's do it. Guts Kingu, that's the end of that, creates humans as slaves. Cool story, right? Now, I want you to compare that to the story of God. Yahweh. And this is this competing story over here, right? So you've got two different views of the world. One view that Nathan, just mind-blowing, guys. Listen to the podcast if you have. Mind-blowing. God so loves. Like, God is the unrivaled God. So you know what? God doesn't have to worry about having his back. Right, God knows, like, dude, this is all a beautiful creation. Like, I spoke and I painted and I brought light and I brought day and I brought night and I brought order. And out of that order, there was meaning. And then out of my love, I was so intimate with my creation that I breathed into my creation and I created this awesome temple and I created earth. And it's this beautiful temple. And those creatures that I made out of clay. I mean, the Babylonians had something right. Yeah, humans were out of clay. But out of clay, I made these beings in my image, and I placed them in the temple so that I could co-rule, so that we could co-rule with these, this earth, this creation, right? So that's two different views. Now let's get to the conversation with the snake. I love the conversation with the snake. I talk a lot of, those of you who know me, I talk a lot about the conversation with the snakes. I'm never tired of the conversation with the snakes. I'm so into the snakes, man, that I've gotten into dragons also, man, because snakes look like dragons also. So the conversation with the snake, right? So if you look at it like this, Eve gets into this conversation with a snake, and she, you know, she's entertaining this idea. Oh, wow, yeah. No, you're right. Wow, the fruit on that tree is really beautiful. And yeah, I think I want to know. I want to be wise. How many of you want to be wise? Right? How many of you really crave to be wise? And how many of us in our pursuit of wisdom jettison God? I've done it. I actually jettisoned God and it cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was awesome. Made all the wrong mistakes financially. It was the most awesome thing. And the whole time my wife was saying, is this a good idea? Is this a good idea? Is this a good idea? I wish you would have said, babe, this is a bad idea. But she never did that. Is this a good idea? But like in our pursuit of wisdom, we jettison God because God had already said to Adam and Eve, what? That tree right there? No bueno, baby. No bueno. Because what I'm up to is for you to co-rule under my authority. If you do that tree, you are not going to be fit to co-rule under my authority. But Eve, and look, I'm not letting Adam off the hook, no way, right? Eve was like, oh, yeah. I bet you she even said, God wants me to be wise. So I'm just going to do God's will. And I'm going to move in with that man or woman, even though we're not married. Because, you know, God wants me wise, right? Or I'm going to go work for that company, even though I know what they're doing is unethical, right? Because I'll go in there and, you know, with my wisdom, I'll be able to change the culture. I've done that. I lasted 17 months in that job. We can talk about that later. And I knew going in that there was unethical things going in. But you know what? My wisdom was going to change the culture. Never mind that they were going to pay me a lot more money than I ever made in my whole life. But you know, I'm not about that. So that's not That's not what caused that conversation. So then whenever, I want you to imagine, think about it. You know, think about any time you enter into a conversation that takes us away from the good that God has for us, we're actually choosing to follow Marduk. We're actually choosing to follow the god of violence, destruction. Imagine the Babylonian gods created out of awful violence, and humans in that view are the product of violence and conquest and conquer. Awful. God says, no. It's out of beauty and love, right? And all you need to do is come to me. But you know what? I'm not going to force you to me, but I'm asking, just come to me. Come under the authority of love. So when somebody hits you, you love them, right? Now, I want you us to all be aware that when somebody hits us and we choose anger, we're actually following a different god. It's not Yahweh. It's not the God of the Bible. And it happens like this. It happened to me last Friday. It's awful. It's awful. I'm on the train. I take the train to work. Love it. Strongly recommend it. I take the train to work, right? But the earlier train had been canceled, so the train I'm on is packed. Packed. I don't care. I stand. I love it. You know, I don't mind people rubbing up against me. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to me, right? And I'm in this little corner with the post. I'm holding the post, and you know, you're moving, and a woman's trying to get on. So I lean in, and there's this guy with his bike in this corner. I lean in, and the guy's all, "Whoa, bro, my space." Take my headphone off. I'm all, "Bro, there is no your space, my space, our space. You see what's going on here? I'm just trying to let this woman in." And you know what I'm thinking? He's about this tall, right? Yeah, okay, exactly, exactly. I outweigh him by 60 pounds. I'm already sizing him up. I'm a bro, I will sock you in the face, man. It's like in my mind, I'm just like, I'm gonna punch this dude. And I'm telling you the truth. My mind went to us tussling in the train and me being victorious, right? But then I came to my senses and I said, this voice comes to my head, "Bro, you ain't no tough guy, right? If a dude pops you in the head and does something, you're down. Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Slow down, cowboy." But you want to know what's crazy? I went to worshiping Marduk just like that. You want to know the stupid thing? I was listening to the book of Genesis in my headphones. Are you kidding? I went just like that. Just like that. Crazy. Jesus also had a conversation with the serpent. So where Adam and Eve couldn't make it work, Jesus has this encounter. You know what's so cool? This is the encounter where Jesus has been fasting for 40 days. And it says in there that he was hungry. Duh. He's hungry. But you know why it says he's hungry, really? Because he was hungry, but he wasn't weak. Adam and Eve were not hungry. Turns out that, though, in that moment, they were weak. So I think people, and Amanda reminded me of this, people think like, oh, you know, God, Jesus was like, oh, man, I don't know. Sheesh, I don't know how I'm gonna make out with that serpent, with that devil, man. I don't know, because I'm hungry. And Jesus was not worried about this. He was hungry, but he was not weak. And let me read you the story from Matthew 4, 1 through 7. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." The serpent says to Eve, "Look, God doesn't want you to have this because then you're going to be wise like him." Adam, same thing. "Yeah, you're right, baby. We're going to be like him, so let's do it," right? So they move down that trail. Jesus, though, comes back real easy. But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. Take every thought captive and bring it into obedience with Christ." Right? We know the words. We know the words, but Jesus actually does not disengage from the conversation with the serpent. He looks at the serpent and says, "I get it. That's very interesting. But God says we're not to live by bread alone, but by every word. So, cool. So that's your reason for me to make this happen. Here's my reason for why I'm empowered by the holy God, creator of the universe, the one who made us to reside as his images in his temple. So what do you got?" "Well, here's what I got." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God..." See, the serpent in the Garden of Eden also had a very similar conversation with Eve. She goes, "Look, you're going to be like God. That's what he's worried about." Here, the devil says, "If you are the Son of God." Here, the serpent says to Eve, "You will be like God." But you know what's so crazy? God had already told him this whole story. "You are like me. You are my images. You are already like me." So Jesus doesn't need to fall into that one either. "If you are the Son of God." "If I am the Son of God, I am the Son of God. Are you kidding me? I'm hungry, but I'm not delusional. Throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." The devil was awesome right here because he's actually trying to convince Jesus to commit suicide. Awesome. The devil is actually convincing in the garden, trying to convince Adam and Eve to commit suicide. They were immortal. And God told them, "If you eat of this fruit, you will surely die." The serpent convinced Adam and Eve to commit suicide, to commit death. Jesus said, "I am eternal, man, forever. I have conquered death. You just don't know it." Do you see Babylon, Marduk, Yahweh, the God, the creator of the universe? And that's the choice that comes before us, like, all the time, unfortunately. All the time. I look at myself, and then there's the stories, Cain and Abel. Cain chooses to follow his own way. Cain chooses to kill his brother. David, King David, chooses not only to cheat with another man's wife, but then to kill another man, to kill that man's wife. It's a husband. Kill that woman's husband. You know what I'm saying. And this choice is like always before us, but God has always created this plan where heaven and earth are meant to be united. And what's so amazing about the scriptures are these hyperlinks, man. There's this hyperlink between Adam and Eve and Jesus. Very similar conversation. Very similar conversation. There's this conversation here where, as I move on, where And I want to move on to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. And this is where the lie of the serpent is taking us all the time. It's taking us to this place called Babylon. And there's a lot of problems with Babylon, and you're going to recognize them. Part of the problem with Babylon is that it's so awesome. That's part of the problem with Babylon. But so, Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, that's interesting, coming from the east. The east. What comes from the east and what goes to the east? That's very interesting. So as people migrate from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Shinar sounds awesome. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all of the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. Now, here's what's awesome here. Like, God actually knows what he created in us. He created us to be ingenious, to be genius, to be creative, to solve problems, all part of the design. But he realized, wow, if as they follow this other God, as they follow this other path, they are going to create great havoc. And the problem with Babylon is that it is awesome. They are progressing economically. They are transforming society. They are making great, awesome buildings, right? Sound familiar? Does it sound very, very familiar? And actually, a lot of people in Babylon have this craving of creating heaven. They're building a tower to the heavens so that they can make a name for themselves, so they can be great like God. We have the very same inclination. Okay, so Adolf Hitler had an idea of what Eden would look like. Eden was going to look a certain way. It was going to have a certain people. But since he is filled with the God of Babylon, part of the plan was, in order for me to make this place perfect, I have to annihilate a whole group of people. And not only that group of people, but people who have any kind of disability, because a person with a disability cannot inherit the kingdom of God, right? So we need to cleanse the earth of these problems so I can choose Eden, so I can build Eden. We do it here too, right? There are those who say, you know what? Let's just provide everything that a human needs. The government will provide everything that the human needs, right? Because that is how we get to Eden. And there are others that say, let's provide nothing that a human needs because that makes them strong. They can produce for themselves. And that's how we create Eden. And both of them don't care two tails about coming under God's authority.
Right.
And humbling yourself. Right? Both camps are listening to the God. Listen, man, if you create a program that solves this problem, you will be great. You will exercise power. You will exercise control. As a matter of fact, why don't we build corporations and make big, tall buildings that look a lot like temples, and at the very top, we're going to put the guy who's going to run the corporate mission. We use the corporate mission. And you know what? We will use the slaves born of blood to fulfill the corporate mission. And then we walk around thinking, dang, they're charging me 18% on a credit card. That is highway robbery. No, we're cooperating with the gods of Babylon, right? We could just say, you know what, God, what do you have for me? We can take that thought captive and say, God, what do you have for me? How do I come under your authority? How do I, like Jesus, have a conversation where I could fully engage the conversation with the serpent but not be weak? Here's how that happens. You give up trying to take the fruit of wisdom for yourself. And you reach out. We reach out to one another because here's the crazy thing. We were created to co-rule heaven and earth under God's authority, but not just with God, but God democratizes the whole thing and says, not just with me, because we become one in Christ. So when one of you suffers, you all suffer. When one of you is in joy, you all are in joy. When one of you needs access to wisdom, you move into your community because we collectively are the voice that can speak against the serpent. And the voice against the serpent is not like, I bind you, certain serpent, be gone. It's like, listen, yes, you want me to make these rocks into bread, but God said, you shall not live by bread alone, dude. You got to give me something else. Okay, now, before you get started, I'm not going to jump off that building either because I have a community in Christ that God has created, and I am willing to submit myself to him. So when we look up to corporate giants to try to solve our problem, we're missing the mark. It's Marduk. We are to look up to the cross, where Jesus put himself up there, not in a moment of weakness, because think about it. Jesus knew that this was going to be the place. Him dying on a cross was going to be the place where he comes back to life, and the gods of this world were going to be defeated. That's the message of Jesus. That's the power of when heaven meets earth. Now, here is the big news. The big idea is that heaven and earth have already met. When Jesus rose from the dead, we are now in God's holy rest. By rest, I mean that he has already come down and he rests like a great king. And all we do is look at the cross. Don't get confused by the guy on the bus, on the train. I got very confused. It took me 2 days to get over my anger. But don't get confused by the guy on the train. Don't get confused by your kid yelling at you. Don't get confused by the fact that your parents hurt you. Don't get confused by the fact that you're not communicating with whole segments of your family. Let's look to the cross and just recognize that's the God that I come under humble service to. And then he will make the path straight. Holy Father, you are such an amazing and awesome God, and there's a choice for For some of you who your heart is stirring right now and you're recognizing like, man, I have chosen the path of bitterness and I have chosen to worship other gods in that moment. If you, maybe this is the first time you're really resonating with the story of Jesus on the cross and his death and his resurrection, and you want that life, you want the real Eden, you want the real heaven and earth, all you need to do is just say, God, I just want the real heaven and earth. I want you, Jesus. And if that's you for the first time, just raise your hand as a declaration that, yes, that's what I want. Now, if you found yourself lost in that conversation with the serpent and you're feeling guilty and confused, recognize this thing. You just need to look back to Jesus, resurrected, light and beautiful, and you come back to him. And if that's you, raise your hand. And you get to go again because he keeps coming after us. He keeps coming after us. And all you've got to pray is, dear God, I know that I was created in your image to be beautiful and to be light, and I'm going to look to you. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to call out your name, and I'm going to call out to your images here amongst me because your rescue is real and it is permanent. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation or download the Humanity Church app to continue interacting with the community at Humanity. Thanks and have a great week.